Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
D-Mays, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan here with you. We will be joined by Jonathan Hutton momentarily. By the way, we did receive a text on our text line. So Gary called in the previous segment and referred to Will Levis as a mayonnaise-eating hot dog.
Hot dog dude.
Yes.
Hot dog dude, yeah.
Mike in Lebanon said hot dogs are great with mayo, mustard, and ketchup.
I'm just not a mayo guy in general, so I'm not the right guy to ask.
I'm not sure if that's a good combination. Listen, okay, I know I gave the yuck face, but I'm going to take that back because I do tell, because my daughter does it to me. I'm like, listen, you can't yuck somebody's food. Like, they like it. So if they like it, then it's, you love it. So I'm sorry for yucking your mayonnaise and hot
there
dogs.
A saying that Caroline Fenton used to have on this program, saying that she doesn't want to yuck anybody's yum.
Yeah.
I hate that expression. It makes me cringe. It's nothing against Caroline, because of course we all adore Caroline.
But it's
Caroline.
True.
But I just don't like it's again, it's one of those trigger words that makes me cringe.
Like moist.
Yeah, moist.
That is one for a lot of people.
Yeah. Another one is crusty. I don't like crusty.
Anything crusty crab.
Yeah, the crusty crab. I'll be a crusty crab. Oh man. Do we have Jonathan Hutton?
He's connecting.
Frazier. He is still connecting. So let's get to some texts while we wait for Jonathan Hutton. So
do we need to play the old AOL, remember you had to, when you were connecting.
Hey kids, remember when you had to dial up
the internet?
And then your mom would pick up the phone and she would hear, Adam, get off the internet. I got to call your dad.
I'm going old school today.
I was up there on AOL Instant Messenger with my terrible screen names. You guys were probably a little too old for that. I'm not saying you're old, but you're probably a little too old for AOL screen names. I had a really bad one. Mine was Back with a Vengeance. And it was. Let me spell it for you. B A K K W I T A V E N G E N C E. So.
Why all those damn letters?
I don't know. I was 12 or 13. I thought it was so cool.
Back with a Vengeance.
Oh, you're trying to get a hold of Adam? Well, let me tell you how to do it.
Yeah.
Dial up Back with a Vengeance.
Okay. But it's not spelled the way it sounds.
Yeah, let me spell that for you.
We need to, thank goodness Jonathan Hutton is here with us.
Oh, man.
From Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. His AOL has connected. His dial-up has connected.
It is here.
There it is.
There we go.
Remember Netscape? Things like that. Man, I could go down that elementary.
Does Nick remember dial-up? How old is Nick?
I do remember dial-up, Hutton. Yes, I am right there at 26.
Nick is older than he seems.
AOL Messenger.
Yeah, I was just explaining to them what my terrible screen name was back then. But let's talk. speaking of phones, let's talk about the phone conversation that Brian Callahan had with Amy Adams Strunk. He said the other day he speaks to her every Monday afternoon.
Yeah.
And Paul Kaharsky asked Brian Callahan how that conversation went this week, and he said in part, business as usual. If you were the owner of the Tennessee Titans and you dialed up Brian Callahan on Monday, I asked Willie and Derek this the other day, but I'd love your opinion as well. What's the first question you're asking Brian Callahan when you pick up the phone and call him as owner on Monday?
Brian, we're 0-3. You're calling plays. Why does Calvin Ridley have 8 catches on 16 targets of 147 snaps?
That's
my question.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Second question would be, Tyler Boyd has 141 snaps this season. He has 8 catches on 14 targets. Why? That's number two.
So the two, so the two guys that you brought
my money
in,
guys.
That's one that was supposed to be like a conduit or the middle guy to bridge the gap between the offense and, you know, the quarterback, and you're not even, you know, involving him in what's going
on. The guy who knows the offense
exactly.
The best.
Absolutely.
He has the same amount of catches as my $100 million guy. And then ultimately, I just say, hey, my analytics people say that our leading rusher, Tony Pollard, ranks 26th in the NFL, and our leading receiver is Calvin Ridley. He's 45th through 3 weeks, and we're new age. What are we doing?
So you didn't even get to Will Levis in all of this, unless that's implied in what all of the questions
you're
asking.
It's all coming back to what's going on.
It all comes back to it. Like, what are we doing? And then it all comes back to the offensive line is what he's going to say. But again, it's a different way of getting at the same problem. They brought in some new age elements, but the same problems exist.
But don't you think, Hutt, that it looks good at given times, different patches during the game? I could put together some film.
Looks great at the
it's
first
not like
drives.
30 seconds long. I think I could put together a tape of some drives that like, okay, this is what we're trying to do. When you say, what are we doing? This is what we're doing, and look how it looks when it's run right. And we're not handing the ball to the other team.
Yes, but like they're not handing the ball to the other team in the fourth quarter, and they've yet to score a point. Now they did that in Chicago.
Yes, none of the film I would provide you would be in the fourth quarter.
No,
yeah,
it would be earlier in the games.
Yeah,
I don't have any good fourth quarter really? Clips to show you.
Yeah, I mean,
unfortunately,
hopefully she would notice this too. They did have a 10-play, 70-yard drive to answer what Green Bay opened with. You know, like those things exist just as well, but it's the same pattern. There's no points in the fourth quarter. We saw that last year. Second half issues, penalties were down this game, but the penalties were detrimental in this game. With the one on Jeffrey Simmons on the field goal attempt. Point being, it still just comes back to the offensive line gives no hope, you know, and the first half issues that we've seen from the quarterback, again, sucked the life and energy. I have an offense that generally starts okay. What we've seen the last two games, at least.
Speaking of Jeffrey Simmons, do you think that Jeffrey Simmons is thanking his lucky stars that Will Levis is having such a rough start to the season? Because otherwise, he might be the target of the type of criticism that Will Levis is receiving. Because through three games, he has, if I'm not mistaken, one sack, one quarterback hit, and two tackles for loss in three games. Do you think Simmons is thanking Will Levis for giving him some cover?
I mean, maybe, but probably not, because if not for Will Levis, I mean, Jeffrey Simmons probably isn't receiving any criticism because they've got a better record than what they do.
That is true.
So he's not facing as much heat as he is right now, because eventually you get tired of talking about Will Levis and you look for other issues. And you know that there's a repeat performer there too with just the penalties, like if the flag was called or not, it was called. So yeah, I mean there's a lot of things that need to be taken out of what they're doing right now. The offensive line play has to improve. They have to get better up there. They have to find ways to not make the dumb penalties or the dumb turnovers, but they continue to find their way to do these things. And it always comes at the moment where they can least afford it. And right now, the Titans can't afford it to do it at any point in this game.
Now, Hutt, you know, when is the point where, you know, you start to seriously think about making a change at the quarterback position? I understand, you know, people point to, well, it's only been three games. He's only played a total of 12 games, and he needs more time. But you're saying all of that all while everyone else in that locker room is, you know, sort of not benefiting from sure. You know, the quarterback play. But yet and still, you look at it like, well, he's only had so many starts. We need to stick with him. But how long do you stick with a guy if he doesn't get it? Because you run the risk of not just losing your fan base, but you run the risk of losing your team.
You, hey, Mace, you're going to know better than me on the team aspect it, behind the scenes, mm-hmm. on what talk is like there. But look, I try to stick with Levis as long as possible, mm-hmm. just because of what the outlook is on him. You know, I'll say right now, Mason Rudolph is going to get sacked as many times as Will Levis is. So I know that. Now, I look around the league, and this past weekend, Sam Darnold, Malik Willis, and Andy Dalton were the leading performers. Hmm. So it's not like backups come in and provide a spark. Generally speaking, the fuse is not that long. The wick burns out quickly, but they can come in and provide a spark. This team desperately needs one. I mean, I think that's why this coach was desperate in going for it on fourth down, trying to pick up a first down out of the halftime to provide any type of spark to ignite an offense that is, you know, doesn't have anything to really ignite right now. I stick with Willis until I can't, Levis. I stick with Levis until I can't, guys. Or, look, here's my honest reaction to it. Levis is going to leave injured, and Rudolph is going to come in. He's going to play well or he's not. And then if he's playing well, you allow that play to continue. And if not, if Levis is able to come back into the game at any point or at any week, he's back in. That the evaluation process is critical. I think we went into this last week, we kind of know. Right now, I mean, if we went into the off season knowing what we've seen right now, the talk about Levis would not have been the same. So I'm factoring in the way I felt, which is I don't know about him, and it's done nothing to give me any indication that I want to invest in Will Levis after this year, after what I've seen so far. I want to continue to give myself information if I'm them.
Now,
with Rudolph though, mm-hmm. if you hey, this is where you come in, Mace. If you start to lose that locker room. And I'm a coach who hasn't won a football game. I mean,
you got to make the change at least.
I need to start winning, man. Everyone just assumes this is a long term play. It's a long term rebuild. It's a rebuild, but coaches nowadays do not get. I mean, you don't get time, and neither do general managers. It's time to win, especially with this owner. You better win. You better win some games and show some improvement and show you're on the right track. So I mean, it's not like it's a full season of no wins and everything's going to be great because we're playing Will Levis. I don't think she's going to sit around and just watch this team lose the way they've been losing for three more months.
Now they've pushed, I believe they pushed the trade deadline back a couple of days or somewhere around there. It's not on the exact same day.
I believe it's after week nine.
Yeah, last week it was after week
eight. Right after Halloween.
Yeah, now it's after week nine, which should give the Titans a little bit more sort of leeway in regards to how they're trying to evaluate this thing. But headed into the bye week, if this team doesn't have a winning record, should they seriously think about trading away assets to then get, you know, picks in the draft? Because they do have a couple of veteran guys on this team that I think if they're not having a winning record, it's best to part with them. Not necessarily because, you know, you think they're playing bad, but because you know where your team's headed and you want to give those individuals an opportunity, especially guys that are in the latter part of their careers. You want to give them an opportunity to go somewhere else, a la Kevin Byard last year. You traded him to Philadelphia. You did him a solid by doing that. Now, Philly didn't go as far as they believed they thought they would, but you did him a solid by trading him to a playoff team. Could you sort of think that way if this come week nine isn't looking promising?
Sure. I mean, by the way, the trade deadline is Election Day. How about that?
It's a lot going to be going on then.
That's right. Get out and vote and make your waiver claims.
And the Predators will be traveling to Washington, D.C. to play the Capitals the next day. So that'll be an interesting place to spend that.
Exactly.
Nothing going on.
Interesting. Yeah. Nothing at all. Interesting is one word for it.
Nothing going on. Routine Tuesday.
Man, who are you trading, Mace? I mean, is it D-Hop?
I think you really – it's either D-Hop or Traylon. Because
the value,
I am conceding that – and I ran some numbers on Traylon since Will Levis has been a starter. So I have conceded on – I've died on that hill. I'm done. I'm finished with it. I still think Traylon is a good player, but he hadn't shown it, so I'm done with it. But either or, you may be able to get more for Hop because he still has some play in him. I'm not sure how much you're going to get out of Traylon, but either one of the guys.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a team looking at Traylon Burks, you're trying to do with Burks what Green Bay just did with Malik Willis in a quick turnaround. When I say quick, like literally a week turnaround. Meanwhile, with DeAndre Hopkins, a known commodity, right? Like you're bringing him in, he's going to catch the football when it comes his way. Those are the two. And to me, it would be Hopkins first over Burks, and that would be the player I could circle. He was even mentioned a bit last year. Not as much as Henry, but yeah, he was mentioned last year, and he's got a contract that's coming up. So yeah, I would look at him, but it's not like this is a team that's full of those type players. So I mean, who they have in that locker room is who they have, and they do need draft picks. We know that they need to continue to try to pull those together, and the higher the better. The highest one they may have may be based on their record, Mace, and I said this the other day. It's just if you go into a year where you're trying to have Levis prove that he's the dude. If and I don't think he is, guys, as we sit here today. If he's the guy, though, you don't have to pass up on James Pierce, and you don't have to pass up on Travis Hunter. Now you have to go after the quarterback, and it doesn't seem to be a great quarterback crop. And again, it's just the way of the NFL continues to turn.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. Jonathan, as I look at the line at this moment, Miami is a one-point favorite over the Titans Monday night, and we don't know exactly who's playing quarterback for the Dolphins, to my knowledge. Anyway, it looks like maybe they'll try the guy from the Ravens, Huntley. But tell me what you think you're seeing here from the Dolphins. I know when you're in this world here, we're all absorbed in what's going on with the Titans. Can they win a game? It doesn't look like they can beat anybody. The Dolphins are having a lot of questions on their own right now.
Oh yeah, and they're Anthony Weaver's defense through three games. Look at the first half, points and yards. It is vastly, vastly different. That points they allow, and they give up a ton of points in the first half, and then in the second half they lock down. They gave up 191, 198, 194 yards individually, weeks 1 through 3 in the first half. 17-24-17 were the points scored in the first half against this Dolphins defense. Second half defense, 0-0-7 allowed, with a pick six also thrown in there by the defense. So they make halftime adjustments. They do well. But the key is, can the Titans continue to, Willie, you brought up the 10-play 70-yard drive. Can they string together some of those? And we not see the turnovers, we not see the extra possessions, and we see the defense play like the defense we saw in weeks 1 and 2. And if so, this is a second half game that comes down to special teams. But again, there's so many breakdowns of what the Titans are doing. The breakdowns with what the Dolphins have been doing has been at quarterback, and literally, like, they're playing, they could be playing Tim Boyle. We could see Tim Boyle complete passes to Braxton Berrios in this game on their offense. And I sat here last week and said, there's no way they're going to lose to Malik Willis. And they did. This is more about the Titans than it is who the Dolphins are playing. And I can't sit here and say I trust that they're going to play the way they're capable of playing, Willie. The way they have been playing is mental breakdowns and miscues. And that's kind of that's not just happened once or twice. It's kind of the trend. It's the trend now of what this season has been to start in September. They've got to turn it around fast. And this is like the last ditch punch, the punch thrown before the bye week. If we don't see it this week, we kind of find out what that locker room is about. If we don't see Jacksonville go to Houston and do something, we find out quickly what that Jacksonville season is going to be about. 0-3, you're not looking at the playoffs, but you're looking at what your team's built of. These guys brought in a lot of veterans. This should be one of the, the best come out ready to go, run at the opponent type deal that we've seen in a while. And, after the turnover, after a quick turnover, after a miscue, after a dumb play, after a pick six, we see the air sucked out of the building and really off the sideline. Will we see that this week on the road Monday night?
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joining us as he does every Wednesday at noon. Hutton, thanks for chatting. Talk next week.
Thanks, guys. Get back to your AOL Instant Messenger discussion.
Did you have a screen name?
It was just Jay Hutton.
Oh, that's lame.
See, no, that's
lame.
That's typical.
It's not even a number.
That's what people did.
It's not back with a vengeance like mine was.
No, let me be honest. There may have been an underscore 69 behind it.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Well, as long as it's not like Adams, we're doing good.
I'll tell a quick story. So my screen name was Backwood of Vengeance, which was bad. So as people might know, I am a wrestling fan just like Chase. So when AOL Instant Messenger emerged, it was in the probably mid to late 90s when the then WWF was in the midst of its Attitude Era. That's where it got violent and all of that stuff. Yeah. And there was
attitudinal.
There was a group known as D Generation X.
Yes.
You may be familiar. And yeah. I remember when I
me?
Yes, exactly. I remember when I presented to my parents that I wanted to have an AOL Instant Messenger account. And they said, okay, what would your screen name be? And I said, Degenerate 69. And they said, no.
No.
I said, I don't even know what that means.
They were like,
what's wrong with that? So I had to settle on Backwood of Vengeance.
Oh, my goodness.
So Jay Hutton underscore 69, yeah. Good enough.
Yes. It was just a number then. I knew it didn't mean anything good. I had no idea what it actually meant. It wasn't like that.
Well, the wrestlers that were in DX, they had gear that looked like football jerseys that had the number 69 on them. So we knew what they were getting at, and I had no idea. I was like, "That's cool."
I came from an era where if someone got mono in the hall, they were cool because that was the kissing disease. That means you made out with a girl.
Yeah,
I never had mono.
I never had mono either. I did have scarlet fever once, but that's a different story for a different time. Jonathan Hutton, thank you so much. Thank you so
All right,
much.
Let's end this interview. Let's end it.
We'll bring back. We'll talk about that next. Thanks, John.
Later. See you guys. All right.
Jonathan Hutton joining us. Oh, man. 615-737-1025. Next, there was a topic that I've been waiting to bring up on this show, but I was waiting to bring it up until I saw a reputable source discussing it, and by golly, we got one. And it's right from here in this very studio. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Premier Six Theater at 810 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro. Whether you're a fan of timeless classics or can't wait for the newest releases, Premier Six Theater has something for everyone. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals and get half off a $50 gift card while supplies last. I had to shield my eyes to get this
good focus,
to get that
to focus.
Readout with Derek dancing beside me to some Eddie Murphy. It's a party all the time in here when I talk about my AOL Instant Messenger screen names.
Hey, hold on, Adam. I think in that song,
yes,
it was like somebody in the background said, Vingan.
Oh, my goodness.
Backwood or did Avengers. I just hear that?
I'll have to listen extra closely. Slow it down.
The second verse, yeah.
Yes.
Second verse.
Rick James cut that. It's on the cutting room floor. So I mentioned before the break, I've been waiting to bring up a topic of conversation on the show until I saw it discussed by a reputable source. And as far as reputable sources go, I count Joe Rexroad very high on that list. Joe and I are now coworkers at the third different place of business. We were coworkers at the Tennessean, we were coworkers at the Athletic, and now we are coworkers here on 1025, 1063 The Game. So I hold Joe's opinion in high regard. So as fate would have it,
y'all basically a package deal.
Well, more or less. So I log on to the Athletic today, and there is a story from Joe Person, who covers the Carolina Panthers, for The Athletic, and other contributors, including Joe Rexroad. Bryce Young trade proposals. I should be able to spit that out. What could Panthers get for former number one pick? Because as we know, Bryce Young has been benched in Carolina. It seems that his time in Carolina is numbered. So I was like, all right, let's see some of the teams that are listed. I saw the Las Vegas Raiders. I saw the Miami Dolphins. And then I see the Tennessee Titans, as written by Joe Rexroad. And here is Joe Rexroad's trade proposal for Bryce Young, and then I will read some of Joe's rationale. Will Levis for Bryce Young and one of the Panthers' 2025 fifth-round picks. And this is what Joe writes in part. Quote, Levis has plenty of talent and showed more promise last season than Young has demonstrated in the NFL. This change of scenery could benefit both, especially Young, though the Titans would be gambling that last season didn't beat the confidence out of him altogether. As Andy Dalton just confirmed, the Panthers have made offensive improvements. Levis is another big physical quarterback who has no confidence issues. The draft compensation addresses the financial difference between the number one overall pick in 2023 and Levis's second round deal. The dead cap hit is substantial for the Panthers, but Levis has just $4 million in guaranteed money left on his deal, and Carolina would still get the rest of this season and the next two, if needed, to evaluate and develop him. If the Panthers think he has the goods to figure it out, this move is worth one of their fifth rounders, one from the New York Giants, writes our friend Joe Rexroad. So Will Levis for Bryce Young in a Panthers 2025 fifth round pick. What do you think?
What Joe, great article. I read it this morning when you sent it. But what Joe failed to address is this, and maybe did, but I don't think he did because I did read it, is that, so what you're saying is, and for anybody that wants to make this proposal, so what you're saying is that, and I was a huge Bryce Young fan when he came out. I thought he deserved to be the number one pick. I thought he was the best quarterback, you know, in college football, and then C.J. Stroud. But if you're proposing this trade, Willis for Young, what do you think is going to change with your team? Because to me, you're regressing from this standpoint. The kid is only 5 foot nothing. He couldn't see over the line they had in Carolina, which I think was a lot of his problems. Or some of them, because Andy Dalton goes in, and he's about 6'2", 6'3", somewhere around there. Andy's able to move that offense up and down the field with the same offensive line, same receivers, same play call. Well, play calling maybe have been a little bit different because now you have a quarterback that can actually see the whole field. So if that was indeed the case, see, this is what you got to think about when you're talking about making this trade. We got a guy that is 6'5", 6'4", 230, 240 pounds, built like a linebacker, run over you, all types of things, and he's having problems with this offensive line. Why would you bring a guy that's 5 foot nothing, 190 pounds, to your team when he's already showed you in that system or on that team he cannot play the quarterback position at a level that is going to consistently win for your team? Why then would you take on that? Because you got to take on the money too. Why would you take on that if you're the Tennessee Titans? That trade proposal makes no sense. And I'm not saying like because it's Joe. It could have been anybody. The proposal makes no sense because he's not going to grow when you send him here. You're not going to get him and say, hey, listen, we got this machine that is stretching him out 3 more inches so he can see over this huge offensive line.
Bobby Brady tried that.
Yeah, it didn't work.
It didn't work.
It didn't work.
Let me just give some statistical context to what Derek is saying. So according to ESPN, Bryce Young measured in at the combine at 5'10" and 204 pounds. Since 1970, 178 quarterbacks have started at least 50 games in the NFL. Exactly 4 of those quarterbacks were shorter than 6 foot. Doug Flutie, mm-hmm. Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, and Pat Hayden. That's the list.
Those guys did pretty well, so at least you've got some hope. But I'm with D-Mace. To me, this sounds like a fantasy football trade.
It's a reach.
It's a fantasy football trade. And I think all of us who have played fantasy have probably made a trade over the years of, let me trade my guy that's been terrible for me for your guy that's been terrible for your team. And we'll just see if we have better luck with a new new karma, whatever, right? Let's just see what happens. But the logistics of switching quarterbacks, like you were saying, it's a completely different style of quarterback. I don't think it's the offense that you would run if you traded for Bryce Young. So I just think it makes no sense. at all. I would rather just move. I've put so much in the investment of Will Levis. I think I my better chances of having it turn out better is to stay the course. Mm-hmm. And if you need to get out of it at the end of the year, it's easier financially to get out from under Will Levis's contract than Bryce Young's because he's a first-round pick.
And again, listen, because they said – they were. I heard them, you know, those that called the Washington game, and they talked a little bit of, oh, he's, you know, Jaden Daniels, it's a small quarterback, and they meant that in weight. But he's not small in height. The kid can see over the line of scrimmage. If you're playing – running back or receiver, or defensive back, his height and weight is perfect.
Jaden Daniels is listed at 6'4", 210 pounds.
Exactly. So he may be small in weight, but he's the height that he's the ideal height for a quarterback. Why? Because they get in these situations where you have to be able to see over the line of scrimmage. Bryce Young's problem is he has a hard time seeing down the field. If he has a hard time seeing down the field, what makes you think it's going to change if he comes here? Because his offensive line is not like they're behind the hogs, as Willie would say. It's not like he's playing quarterback behind the hogs or behind one of these other great offensive linemen that we've seen throughout the course of the NFL history. Okay? He's not playing behind them. And even if he was, he's still 5 foot nothing. Okay, so again, unless you can stretch this guy to be over 6 foot or 6 foot even, then what the problems that you're having now or the problems that Carolina is having will be the same problems that you would have here in Nashville because the kid can't see down the field. I don't know what needs to be done to be able so you can sort of get the best out of Bryce Young, but at this point, his height is a detriment, and this, a lot of people talked about it before he was drafted. But me, like many, felt, oh, he can overcome that. He's a good quarterback. He processes quickly. He can make the right read. Well, all of that has been proven wrong because he's not making the right reads. He's not leading his team to victory, and he can't see down the field. Prime example, put Andy Dalton in there, and it seems like the offense runs fine.
615-737-1025. Again, Joe Rex Rhodes trade proposal on The Athletic. Will Levis for Bryce Young and one of the Panthers' 2025 fifth round picks. Would you do it if those were the trade terms in a Will Levis Bryce Young swap? 615-737-1025. We'll get to your calls and texts coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game. D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063, The Game, discussing Joe Rex Rhodes' trade proposal in The Athletic. Will Levis for Bryce Young and a Panthers 2025 fifth-round pick. And as Derek was talking about Bryce Young's height, all I can think of is my recent trip to Dollywood, where I take my son on a ride, and I'd have to put him next to that little sign. It says you have to be at least 38 inches. I'm like, all right, Arlo, stand right here. A little too short. Sorry, bud. We can't go on the ride. So you must be this tall to play quarterback in the NFL.
And he tried to get on his tippy toes, didn't he?
No.
Oh, he didn't
He just said okay. And then we found a ride that he liked.
Well, when my son was his age, he would try to get on his tippy toes. Like, I could do it. I'm like, nope, you still can't do it.
My son has big hair, so that helps.
But, sure he didn't say, Dad, get over there.
He calls me Dad sometimes. I'm like, no, Dada or Daddy, not Dad at age 3. Dylan on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, the only logical answer I can think of is that Bryce Young would make the smarter decisions that Levis refuses to make. Quick passing game and screens or checkdowns would save Young from being sacked as much as Levis.
If he hadn't did it in Carolina, what makes you think he's going to do it now? I mean, I'm sure Carolina thought the same thing. Hey, let's give him some dumps or some screens to the running back or the receivers, something to get the ball out of his hands very quickly. And even probably with that, he hasn't been able, because it comes to a point where those plays teams are going to take away. They're just going to take away. They're going to force you to throw the ball down the field. And if you can't see the field, then how are you going to throw the ball down the field? Again, this is not the Brady Bunch, okay, where you can go in there and hang from the chin-up pole. and get taller.
Jared did play Sunshine Day the other day on his show.
Great
song. I don't know if you heard that or not.
Nothing wrong with that
he
song.
He put it underneath clips of the toxic positivity mm-hmm. that he's been discussing. It was actually one of Jared's may have been Jared's finest work.
Yeah,
I very much
if there is such a thing, then that would be a great theme song for it, because the Bradys were all about positivity.
Yes. We have one texter who says Levis at least has the arm strength to have the big play ability. Not only is Bryce small, but his arm strength is lacking to make up for it. Kyler Murray isn't much taller, but has one of the stronger arms in the NFL. Kyler also runs a 4.4 40, which allows him to escape the pocket. Bryce doesn't have the same mobility or the arm strength to make up for his size.
What's interesting is the revisionist history here, mm-hmm. because I think there was the topic of his height mm-hmm. did come up.
Yeah.
There were articles written that just kind of what Adam put out there in the last segment, that it is rare to have a quarterback succeed at his height. But I don't remember a lot of people saying, hey, they should take Stroud over mm-hmm. Bryce Young, or they should take X over Bryce Young. I don't think there was he was the consensus number one pick in a draft that had a lot of quarterbacks picked.
Yeah, and again.
And now everybody's like, oh, I can't believe they picked him. No, what are they thinking? Most people said that.
Yeah, it's not like I'm sitting here saying, wow, why did the Carolina pick? Why did the Carolina Panthers choose to draft Bryce Young? I was in the same boat that everybody else was in.
But compounding that was the fact that they made that trade to yes. move up to get
they
him.
They gave away everything. Yes.
When you have talking, to add that into that it
When
as
you're
well.
Talking about that giving away the farm, they gave away the farm to get Bryce Young, only to bench him a year later. So I fell into the boat of, you know, watching him as a collegiate quarterback and saying, man, this kid is good. Like, he reads the field well, regardless of his height and weight and all that other stuff. This kid's a football player, and he can play in the NFL. I bought into the hype, but it seems like what some of the people were saying, it's rang true.
So why didn't it translate? Why does the height not translate from college to the pros?
I think in college, I think the when you start comparing one team to another, I think Alabama is superior than most teams that they play, and they got athletes everywhere. So it's just like, and then the coverages they play, you're not going to run into a team with two lockdown defensive backs or a defensive line that's coming at you at waves, or a coordinator that knows how to put all this stuff together and make it extremely difficult for you. So when he's at Alabama, he has space to see the whole field. They spread you out wide, and they open up things for you so you can see what actual coverage they're in. I said that a lot about Hendon Hooker the year he was in Tennessee. I said it works for him so well because he doesn't necessarily have to read the defense when he's underneath center or behind center, because these wide splits, these defenses have to declare right now what you're in. So I know what you're in right now. I'm better prepared for it. Bryce Young was better prepared for it. He saw the defenses that they were in as far as coverage-wise, and it made it easier because those lanes were open wide. In the NFL, everything shrinks. It becomes more difficult to read and react to defenses that's constantly changing, where those lanes that you had in college, those lanes are no longer here in the NFL. You have to work around them and have the ability to see over them to be able to throw the ball down the field. And at five, whatever, he can't consistently see the ball down the field enough to make accurate throws.
One texter says, this trade proposal is like buying a used car. May look nice, but have to worry about how the previous owner treated it. You can't get the Carfax for Bryce Young, I guess.
No, I can't. I mean, you see the Carfax. Yeah. It's right there in your face.
All the games are on tape.
That is true.
Yeah,
that
you can look
true.
At the All-22 and say, okay, that's basically your Carfax, the All-22. So.
Shoal has been waiting patiently on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, with a comment on this proposed trade. Shoal, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just like that. Tech is like a used car. We don't need him. We already have our own problem with wear level. My thing is, before season start, I was optimistic about us making it. Now, no, I'm taking that one back. I want us to lose all the way and have Travis Hunter and Chidoor Sanders as our wide receiver and a quarterback. Wait,
I think you could only get one, right? Unless do you think one's going to be in there in the second round?
Yeah, no, we're going to get them because Houston got Will Anderson and
they did.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Stroud.
Yep.
Yeah. We're going to do that one. We're going to have some asset to sell so we can secure two of them.
Thanks for the call, Shoal.
Okay, Shoal.
Shoal is ready to. He has done a.
Shoal about is taken. Yes. He is taken turned around.
But
right
listen,
now.
Shoal is like. Shoal's like me. Hey, listen, I thought this was what it's going to be, and it hadn't turned into that in regards to Will Levis. So you got to. You got to think about making that change over Bryce Young. I thought he was the bee's knees, whatever they call whatever they say. But I found out that
I think they say that on the Brady Bunch, yeah, the bee's knees.
Yeah, but I found out that he's not that, so I have a right to sort of, you know, take back what I said. But in regards to, like, seriously, in regards to, you know, drafting Shedeur Sanders and Hunter, you may be able to get one or the other, but it's going to be hard for you to get both. I wouldn't advise you do with what Carolina did and give up the farm. Basically, that's what they did, to give up the farm to get these two individuals. Because, one, you don't need a cornerback, because that's what Travis Hunter is. He's a hell of a cornerback, a good wide receiver. You would have to retrain him. You would have to train him to run routes. You would have to train him a lot of things as far as being a receiver, because what I'm seeing is an extremely athletic guy that can go out there and play the wide receiver position. But when you ask him to play it at the next level, he will have extreme difficulties doing that because he hasn't perfected the art of route running. Now he's just running into an open space and getting open. And once he gets his hands on the ball, he's a dynamic player. If you want to draft him as a corner, but use him like Denver used the Champ Bailey at times. Obviously, Oakland used Woodson in his early years at receiver at times. Obviously, we know what Prime did in his days. You do not draft Travis Hunter as a wide receiver. And someone's going to make that mistake and then have to do an about face and put him back on the defensive side of the ball. He is a hell of a defensive back. He's an athlete that can play wide receiver, but you don't want him to be a wide receiver at the next level.
I think Caleb on our text line speaks for a lot of Titans fans in this conversation. Why would you do that trade when you can just play Levis and lose and either draft a quarterback next draft or get a high offensive line pick and get a quarterback the following year?
I'm more in that camp. Let's just see where you are with Levis at the end of the year, and I will continue to make this point. He is not a first-round pick. It is financially easy to move on from him. After this year, you can do anything you want. You can release him. You could say, well, let's have Will Levis be our backup quarterback. There's any number of things that you can do.
So the verdict is, Joe Rexroad, don't quit your day job, pal. Don't quit your day job, pal.
Yeah.
No GMing for you in your future. I think the callers have rejected your trade proposal. Will Levis for Bryce Young and a 2025 fifth-round pick.
I think Carolina would probably – Carolina, I think, would do it, but it doesn't make sense for the Titans to do it. It really doesn't.
I would tend to agree. Sorry, Joe. By the way, someone texted it and said, I love Big Joe, but that's a dumb trade, and I had to take up for Big Joe. I said, I'm not talking about Big Joe. I'm talking about Joe Rexford. He goes, oh, well, Joe, that's a dumb trade. So I had to defend Big Joe. I defended your honor, Big Joe. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Mitch Light of The Athletic will join us to discuss all things college football. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus T&Cs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save